From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
You know all those disaster stories that you hear about people working with close friends or family members? Like, it doesn't work out and suddenly this relationship is just blown up, or entire sides of families just don't talk to each other anymore, whatever. It's awful. It's scary. And I think it probably scares a lot of people out of working with close friends, family members, and significant others. And so recently, I was doing a story on just that, and I had put a call out onto LinkedIn asking for stories of people who had worked with family and it didn't work out. And instead, you know what I got? I got a ton of people who said, hey, I saw your call out and I don't have anything like what you're talking about, but I do actually work with a brother, sister, father, mother, cousin, whatever, and it's going great. It's actually fantastic. And we have learned a lot from each other and we're building and we're growing. And if you ever want to talk to us, then we're here. And this reminded me of this survey that we did a while ago at Entrepreneur. So here, pop quiz. Can you guess what percentage of people have worked with a close friend, family member, or significant other? Can you guess? I'll give you the answer. 78%. That is according to a survey that Entrepreneur did with SurveyMonkey Audience. We partnered to survey 1,000 people, and that was at 78% said that they'd worked with a close friend, family member, or significant other. And you want to take another guess? What percentage of them said that it was a positive experience? The answer? 87%, which is to say that most people have worked with someone very close to them, and most of those said that it was a good experience. So in fact, those stories of massive blow-ups and the horrible family schisms, those are the minority. The majority are actually happy, functional relationships. Hell, maybe the business is not even functional. Maybe they tried and they failed and the relationship just survived, which is really better in the long run, isn't it? And so here's what I thought to do. I thought, wouldn't it be nice to hear the voices of people who are working successfully with their family? Wouldn't it be nice to just let them roll for a few minutes and tell us how they've made it work and what insights they've gained and what value they've derived from working with the people closest to them? And so on this episode of Problem Solvers, that is what I'm going to play for you. Because what I did is I responded to all of these people who had reached out to me. And I said, hey, listen, why don't you sit down with a microphone or just, you know, your iPhone voice memo app or whatever, and talk to me for 2 minutes about what it's been like working with your family. What have you learned? What has been the benefit? And today I'm going to just play for you a whole bunch of those. You're going to hear almost unfiltered in a way that we don't normally do on Problem Solvers. The voices of people who are working together with family, who are making it work, who are really happy with the decision that they've made. And I think in hearing from them, you can get a really good sense of what it means to have a great, functional, trusting relationship with the people who you are closest with. I think it's really useful to hear this from their own voices. And so I am largely going to turn this episode over to them. But of course, what are we going to do first? We're going to take a little break. So it's the success stories of families right after this break. Hiring. It's like a problem wrapped inside a problem. I mean, you're hiring because you need help, but the actual process of finding the right people to hire can be tedious at best. You need more than a job board. You need an efficient way to reach the right candidates at the right time. And that's where LinkedIn comes in. Over 600 million members, like me, visit LinkedIn to make connections, learn and grow as professionals, and discover new job opportunities. When you post a job listing on LinkedIn Jobs, you're putting all of LinkedIn's data to use. It'll recommend candidates that could be great matches, for example, and you can target your promotion to people with the right skills. And because resumes often come in fast and furious, LinkedIn will also give you a dashboard to manage all of your candidates in one place. So, time to get posting. To get $50 off your first job post, go to linkedin.com/problem solvers. Again, that's linkedin.com/problem solvers to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply. And now our second sponsor. We talk a lot about company culture on this show. And, you know, many companies make the same mistake of thinking that culture equals perks. Build a new snack station and give everyone beanbag chairs and throw in some insurance. But while I love roasted peanuts and chilling on the floor as much as the next guy, that is not enough to subsist on. And neither is your workplace life insurance. That's where Policy Genius comes in. Policy Genius is the easy way to shop for life insurance online. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find the right amount of coverage at the best possible price. The Policy Genius team can even look at your workplace life insurance policy and help you decide what else you might need and what you don't. So remember, workplace life insurance policies are like workplace snacks. Better than nothing, but not quite enough. Head to policygenius.com today and find out how to supplement your workplace life insurance and better protect your family. Policy Genius. It's like a buffet made of life insurance. And what could be more delicious than that? All right, we're back. So, as promised, it is time to start turning the microphone over. So we're going to hear a series of these, and sometimes I'll jump in to introduce, and other times I'm just going to let it roll. So the first one here is a woman named Kat, who founded a company called 21 Seeds. It's a tequila company with her sister. And Kat's going to start out, but you will, I promise, hear from her sister a little bit into it.
So I think our biggest challenge was needing to come to market quickly. I mean, here we are, we're a tiny little new tequila being chased by a 600-pound gorilla that is big spirits. In order to move as quickly as we needed to move, I needed to know that I had people around me that I trusted and that I could count on. And there is nobody that I trust more than my sister. We're immigrants. We were raised in a house with an immigrant mother who worked her ass off, who never took no for an answer, and who instilled that sort of work ethic in both of us. And so I think knowing that I had Nicole as my CFO, that I could count on her for those decisions that needed to be made quickly, and that I could trust them, and that I didn't have to double check her work. I didn't have to question what she was doing.
Technically, wouldn't be able to open up a spreadsheet and double check my work.
Yes.
Because you're allergic to spreadsheets.
Correct. And actually, it's kind of ironic that we needed to pick lanes and stay in those lanes. And that was what allowed us to move so quickly, because we're Greek and we don't have boundaries. That also helped a lot, because I could pick up the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning and have a question about something we were working on. And I would know with certainty that she would pick up that phone and would have an answer for me.
And our skill sets were really complimentary. You obviously don't know the word no. In the end, it pushes you to really think through, is it really a no? Because we were doing things that had never been done before.
Right. So I would say, are you sure? Are you saying that it's a maybe, or is it a firm no? We also could get into these arguments, and our third partner, Porsarka, who's not a sister,
but a very good friend.
Yes. She would have to listen and hear us get into these heated discussions. In the end, it allowed you to like cut through niceties and get to the heart of the issue and then get to a quick resolution.
Answer.
The fact that we were sisters is what really allowed us to move as quickly as we did. If it hadn't been my sister as my CFO, we would have never been able to launch in a year.
And if it hadn't been Kat asking the question till she got the answers she wanted, we may have not thought so much out of the box in order to get there and really get the product that we ended up wanting. If we're afraid to just speak our mind, we wouldn't have gotten to where we were.
And you can only get to a comfort level like that with family.
Because you can't fire each other.
Well, I guess technically you could fire each other, but that's not going to be good for the sister relationship. Anyway, the thing that I love the most about that was how they have identified each other's strengths and weaknesses, and they understand how to fill in for each other. They know how they fit together. Okay, here's our next one. It comes from a guy named Bill Keith. And no, there is no cop chasing you as you listen to this podcast. That is on Bill Keith's side. So don't mind the sirens. Okay, here's Bill.
Hello, my name is Bill Keith. I'm the CEO and founder of Perfect Snacks. And my family and I came together. We were facing a big challenge. My dad ended up getting sick. I'm the oldest of 13 kids. He ended up getting skin cancer. He was the breadwinner of our household. And so I had to drop out of college. This was in 2005. And we took a concept, a family recipe, a refrigerated bar. And there was nothing like that on the market for, especially back then. And we decided as a family, we were going to come together and create a brand new category. Of course, we didn't have that grand vision in our head. We were just trying to take care of our family back then. So when we came together within the first year, we were knocking on doors and it just wasn't happening. Our first big break when we overcame the challenge and the turning point was in 2006 when we ended up getting into this Berkeley Whole Foods. And that's quite a story. And within 30 days, we were able to trial and test through demos and the family coming together, hand rolling this product, and hundreds of demos at these different stores. We were able to prove our success and leverage that success across other retailers across the country. And that puts us where we're at today. We're sold in over 27,000 retailers, started at zero, and now we're going to be over $130 million in sales. And we are just getting started. It's starting to get fun, and the family's together making it happen.
Thanks, Bill. All right. What do you say we look at a different angle on family now? What about a kid whose parent comes and works with them?
My name is Ariana Fagan. I'm 14 years old, and ever since I was 4 years old, I've been passionate about cooking.
Ariana is clearly an impressive kid. She has appeared on MasterChef Junior, the TV show. She has started a company cooking private dinners in Minnesota. She does public speaking, and she just launched a line of aprons. And now she's got some family help.
My dad left his career in the medical field to become a sommelier so we can pair wines at my private dinners and now works full-time with me on my own company. Working together with my dad on my business has definitely brought us closer together, but that doesn't mean that we don't face our fair share of conflict. My dad's always telling me that I've set the bar really high for myself. If I was just a regular teenager who got good grades and occasionally cooked for the family, he says he'd be really happy with me, but since I want to run my own business and be a philanthropist and be an entrepreneur and do all that, he says he has higher standards for me. And if I don't answer my emails right away or if I procrastinate, that's when he holds me to that higher expectation. And we're both so passionate about what we do. And because we come from such different backgrounds and have such different viewpoints on what's going to make our business succeed, that's when we kind of have our biggest arguments. And the way I kind of overcome that is by staying grounded and hearing him out and knowing that he has my best interest in mind. And it's been a really good experience thus far.
My name is Brian Wallace, and I'm the founder and CEO of NowSourcing. NowSourcing's a top-rated infographic agency where we specialize in effectively telling a company's story visually and then getting massive amounts of earned media for them. So my wife, Judy, and I founded the business together just about 13 years ago. And as I'm sure everybody can appreciate, partnerships in business are very, very hard, where trust is everything. So who better to go into business with than your spouse? That said, living and working together can bring a lot of issues to the office or bring it home. So the key that we make sure to do is that we work on different things and that we're complementary ends of the business. So I focus a lot more on the day-to-day. She does a lot more of the big picture kinds of things. And this gives us a better sense of work-life balance. And as far as problems, early on in the company, when we were just getting started, just like everyone else, when you're getting started, you don't have a lot of capital. You're always trying to figure out a way to cut overhead. So we did something pretty daring where we figured out how to keep costs lower by leaving the metro New York area where we're both from in favor of checking out Louisville, Kentucky, where we originally had a chance to visit, and then have our most recent move to Cincinnati, Ohio. I found that really helped save the day just in terms of cutting costs, rent, overhead, employees, and all of that, and just a nicer quality of life. I'm not sure I would have been able to do that with a straight up business partner as opposed to someone that I know of and trust, such as my wife.
That's true. I mean, think of it. You're literally only moving one family, whereas if you were moving with a business partner, you could be moving two families. But, you know, to go back to something that he had said earlier, and you already heard this in the episode, that distinct roles and responsibilities, understanding what you are strong at and what your partner is strong at, it really makes a difference. In fact, to go back to that survey that we did with SurveyMonkey, establishing clearly defined roles and responsibilities was the number one thing that people said was important for making it work. 68% of people had said that. And then down the line a little bit, 65% said that allowing for constructive criticism was the most important part of making a relationship like this work. And then after that, 53% said respecting confidentiality was the most important, which is interesting. I actually wouldn't have expected that one. Okay, here's the next.
This is Greg Vetter with Tessie Mays. Tessie Mays is the number one organic salad dressing and condiment company in the country. What challenges did I face in working with family and how did we overcome it? I mean, I think we faced every challenge you could ever face. We faced power challenges. We faced family challenges. We faced evolution challenges. We faced understanding challenges. We faced bringing on people from the outside that didn't feel that different family members deserved the jobs that they had. We faced growth challenges as we grew and some of us didn't grow as fast as our brand, or we grew faster than our brand and we were waiting for the brand to catch up. I think the one thing that held us together the entire time is that we all had the same mission. We all have the same belief system, which then allowed the company and our family members and our company to all become one single unit to try and achieve the goals that we have.
My name is Zoe Roebuck. I founded Dr. Roebuck's in 2016 with my twin sister, Kim Roebuck.
Here, I'm just going to jump in to say that Dr. Roebuck's is a skincare brand in Australia. Okay.
Working with family for us is even twofold, being twin sisters, so it's quite a challenge. We look identical, but we're very, very different. We have overcome it by knowing that we can have our daily squabbles as we did as children and then know that tomorrow everything will be okay. We've also started to employ the stop philosophy because with every conversation, unfortunately, as a family, emotion comes in and you can't change that. So stop means stop. S is stop. T, think about what's going on. O, observe. And then P, proceed, the most important. And normally you just need to just think about it, observe, and not proceed as a family because there's too much involved.
I like that. And also it reminds me of a conversation that I recently had with a very, very prominent company founder who works with her brother. And she says that they go to couples therapy or whatever the version of that is, founders therapy. Anyway, they go to therapy together and they work out what their problems are and the ways that they can move forward. And they actually write out like a contract, like you will stop doing this. I will stop doing this. This is how we will work together. And then they go regularly and they review and update the contract. It's important. I mean, this may sound kind of tricky and weird if you haven't done some version of it, but I mean, what's the alternative? Driving yourself crazy and ruining a relationship with your sibling and your company? No, that's crazy. Just go to therapy or come up with something like stop. Okay, this next one is a little different. It's interesting. It's not about siblings working together. It's actually about siblings competing against each other.
Hi, I'm Kevin Bennett, and I'm the CEO of MotoRefi. MotoRefi is a DC-based startup that partners with trusted lenders to help people refinance their car loan. Today, I want to talk about working with my brother. We both lead tech startups in DC, and it's great in almost every way. The only challenge is when it comes to hiring. When you're looking for top talent in the same city, the talent pool can start to feel pretty small. My brother and I have come close to recruiting against each other on multiple occasions, and needless to say, this has been a point of tension when it comes to risks of building a startup in the same town as your brother. I've noticed that this issue isn't limited to family. What do you do when you and your friends are trying to recruit the best people from your shared network? The good news is that there's usually a pretty high level of trust with your family and friends. Building on that trust, my brother and my solution has been 1, to be transparent, 2, to have open lines of communication, and 3, to be proactive. For example, we proactively share when we're interviewing a specific candidate we both know, so that we avoid recruiting against each other. This helps us achieve our hiring goals without stepping on each other's toes, and we address potential conflicts before they happen.
Hey, Jason, my name's Gigi Goldman, and I'm one of the co-founders of Kapari Beauty.
Jason Bryce Goldman, Gigi's husband and co-founder and CEO of Kapari Beauty.
Hey, guys, you didn't need to address me directly, but, well, anyway. Okay, keep going.
So, Jason, we've been married for almost 19 years. I literally can't believe it. We've got three kids, 17, 14, and 10. We launched Kapari Beauty in October of 2015, and it was really a lifelong dream for both of us.
And I'll say, you know, one of the largest challenges that we've faced to date is jumping into this business together as a married couple. I actually come from a third-generation family-run business and figured that, and I actually joined that business after graduating from college in the mid-90s, and assumed that I had learned a lot of lessons watching my parents struggle through running that company, and hoped that I could bring those tools to this experience, and realized pretty quickly that it is really, really a challenging process to run a business as a married couple, especially with kids.
Yeah, I think what we learned through a lot of therapy and just pure discipline is that you really need to separate work from your personal life. So we really try not to bring it home, and we have very distinct roles, business versus husband and wife. It's been one of the most challenging and rewarding times in our life, both professionally and personally. And we're grateful for the journey, and we plan to continue to practice that discipline so we can prioritize and really live our life to the best of our ability.
And there it is again. Going to therapy, being totally open about going to therapy, so important. This is how you keep things together. Entrepreneurship is full of stresses. And if you're going to be facing that with someone who you're close to, you've got to figure out a way to deal with those stresses together. Okay, here is our last voice of the episode.
Hi, Jason. This is Polis Xenaris from Cyprus. I've worked in my family business from 2003 until 2018. The business was a retail company in the furniture industry, and working with my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and with aunts and uncles is not easy at all. One of the biggest challenges I had at the beginning, and it took me at least 5 years to accommodate for it, was not to be so strong opinionated for the issues going on, because it's difficult when you see the same people at home working with them in the business. They see you as their brother, their son, their nephew, and they see you at work, and you need to make decisions that may be tough or not so pleasant, and it's very difficult. But after 5 years, I've managed to calm myself down and try to pass my message in a much calmer way. But when the bad times came in the business, it was even more difficult to preserve your patience and not argue with family members, because it took a toll on the family, with sales going down and trying to keep the business alive. But at the end of the day, when things are going on that you don't feel comfortable with, you realize that it's not your business, you are not the owner, and you don't take the final call, you are not the decision maker. So I didn't feel like doing things that were outside my philosophy and my way of doing things. So instead of fighting with the family, I decided at some point that it would be better to leave.
Sounds like a hard decision, but also the right decision, because sometimes it just isn't going to work out. We heard a lot of nice, rosy stories today about people who have managed to make it work, who in fact are thriving because of their relationship. But you know what? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You can't force it. You can't expect anything more than whatever it is that happens. And if you give it the best shot and it's just not right, then maybe it's time to move on. And I am really glad to hear that it sounds like he made the decision that is best for his family, and hell, probably best for the business too. So thank you to everybody who had submitted audio for this. And I hope that you, the listener, feel inspired to build great relationships. Doesn't really matter where, doesn't matter how, doesn't matter if you're working with family or friends or just strangers who are becoming your work family. Whatever the case is, the takeaway here is great relationships take time and they take work, and they are worth working on. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonpfeiffer.com, JasonPfeiffer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure
to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.